I know who I'm believing. What a beautiful song. Seeking sinners. Are there any sinners in the house today? Are there any sinners in the house today? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, for these few minutes, we just want to hear from you. Lord, cover me with the blood. Hide me behind the cross. Let it not be me speaking, but you speaking through me. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Last week, I found myself in Delaware, a guest speaker at a church. And the next day, I went out with a couple of friends, musicians. One of the things that I love to do is play the saxophone. I try to think that I'm pretty good. Lord is still working on me. So on Sunday, we go to this church, and we decide to, he's a musician, he's a keyboardist, he's an excellent keyboardist, and me and Sister Michelle, we are at this church, and we're participating in the service. We're helping out with the music. At the end of the service, they came up to me, you know, because they introduced the guest musicians, pastor from Tacoma Park, and, you know, the all that goes with it, and they come to me, and they says, hey, you're from Tacoma Park. And immediately the people, now this, where I am is in north of Salisbury, Maryland, somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Like, I don't know how we got there. It was a GPS. You take a left here, you take a right here, and you're deep into farm territory. And so we're in a small church, and when they find out that I'm from Tacoma Park, immediately some of the people come up to me, and they say, is WGTS 91.9 still playing? This is not an Adventist church. This is another church. Another lady comes up to me and says, my baby was born at WAU Hospital. Is the hospital still functioning? I thought about the far-reaching impact that we as a church have, that here I am 150 miles away in a context where no one should know who I am. And as soon as they find out where I'm from, they begin to ask me about the influences that marked their life. Now, what even got me thinking a little bit more is these individuals, if they were here in our congregation right now, when Pastor Wright asked the question, 50 and above, they would all raise their hand. And so that means the influence and the seed that was planted 50, 60 years ago, it still resonates. The sermon today is entitled, Seeking Sinners. I want to tell you a story about a God who is seeking the lost. Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. We will be spending most of our time in Luke chapter 19, so you could just put your finger right here. Luke has four amazing stories of rich people. Now, the reason why I'm setting this stage for you is because in the New Testament, the idea of a rich person making it to heaven was a foreign concept. And I'll tell you why. We won't go there, but when you have a chance today, I encourage you to look at Luke chapter 12. We won't go into the details. But Luke chapter 12 features the story of a rich, foolish man. And for those who are biblical scholars, I'll give you a quick summary. The rich, foolish man is a parable of a man who has it all. And what he decides to do with his wealth is once he's got enough barns, help me out here, what does he decide to do? And build another one. Now, as Christians, we're easy to look at them and say, if, you know, this parable doesn't apply to me, but does it? As soon as we get something, we want something bigger. Can we just be honest? You remember the first car that you had? You know, you're just happy to have four doors, right? My first car, station wagon, just happy that it ran. Didn't even have four doors. Two doors. I feel you. My second car had two doors. But then, somehow, the neighbor pulls up with a different car, a little shinier than yours, and immediately your focus changes. That's the first ruler. The first rich man story. The second rich man story is found in Luke 16. It's the parable of the man who has plenty in this lifetime, and outside of his door, there's someone that has nothing. It's a parable. And now he passes away. It's a parable. And Jesus is trying to illustrate a point. This rich person also didn't do the right thing. Because while he was alive, able to make a difference in the community, he does nothing. That's the second rich man's story. Now let's go to the third one. As Luke advances, this one is found in Luke chapter 18. Instead of it being a parable, it's a story of a rich young ruler. Now, I preached a sermon a while ago in Chicago, and the rich young ruler was interesting because he comes up to Jesus, and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" You remember the story in Luke chapter 18? So he asked the question, "What must I do to be saved?" And it's almost as if he's saying, "You know, Lord, I've done all these great things. I'm just looking for you to give me the pat on the back and just say, go right into heaven." He comes, the way he asked the question, it's not as if he's really seeking. He just wants affirmation that he's doing everything right. So if you look at Luke chapter 18, there's a dialogue that begins. And Jesus asks him, you know, "Have you kept the commandments? Have you done this? Have you done this?" And he almost answers very proudly, "Yes, I've done all of these things since my youth." Got to be careful when you're talking to God and you say, "I've done all these things. All of these things since my youth." And so Jesus then says, "All right, we're done with the formalities. Let me ask you the real question. Go, give away all that you have and follow me." What happens next? Jesus asks you the question, "Go, give all that you have to those who have less than you." Could you do it? Now we're in the third quarter, purpose. Tacoma Park, we are one in purpose. So the questions that are being asked in the Bible are being asked of us as a church now. So the rich young ruler goes away, a very sad man. That's a third rich man story. If you look a couple of verses afterwards, Luke chapter 18, verses 25 and 26, the question is asked, who then can be saved? Just imagine yourself as a disciple then. You see the rich young ruler who has everything, who looks like the poster card of the person who's supposed to go straight into heaven, and he walks away sad, and the disciples are like, "Well, if he can't make it, well, who's going to get in heaven?" Now, to understand this carefully, you need to understand who Luke is. Luke is, the scholars say, he's not an eyewitness to the life of Jesus. He lived at the time of Paul, but he's one who's very meticulous in getting eyewitness stories. His goal was to preserve the story of Jesus and to prove that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. So he's very meticulous in compiling these stories to talk about Jesus. So the first three stories that we hear about the rich men, we see that the first one just did the wrong thing. What did the first one do? He had a lot, he adds more, right? The second one, in his lifetime, in the parable, he does nothing to benefit his fellow man. The third one, now it's an encounter with Jesus. Jesus is in his presence, talking to him face to face, and with one question, he turns away. That's the backdrop, setting the stage for Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, let's look at what's happening here. Luke chapter 19, and it reads, verse 1, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich." It's interesting that Luke slips this in, because now it's the fourth rich man story. And as I'm reading this now, the first three struck out. What is number four going to do? What am I going to do? I see the example of the others. What am I going to do? Now, Jesus is walking. It says he entered and passed through Jericho. I need to tell you a little bit about Jericho. Jericho is a city with history. Last time when I stood before you, I was talking to you about the story of Samson in Judges, talking about the narrative, how the children of Israel go into the promised land. The city of Jericho in the Old Testament was one of the cities given to the children of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. This Jericho that you find in the New Testament is not the same city, but it is near the original Jericho. It's a city not too far away. And this city is a center of commerce. I'm setting the stage. It's a place of prosperity. It's a place where everyone wants to be. Jericho is a flourishing town. It's also a place of fragrance. They trade in commerce. And it's also a place where the priests lived. When I first moved to Tacoma Park, I was looking for a place to stay, and I picked Laurel. It's near the airport. It's where the hotel was that I first stayed. I said, might as well live in the same town. I was told that in Laurel, there are many pastors and retired pastors who live in the community. I said, well, isn't that lovely? I live in a nice town with a lot of Adventist pastors. This town is going to be great. It comes with problems, though, and I'll tell you what the problem is. If you live in a town with a lot of other ministers, you have to always be ready to have an encounter with a colleague. I didn't get that picture at first, so I find myself going to the store one time, and, you know, I'm a minister, but I just came from graduating from school, so this time I'm going into the store, and when I'm going into the store, I'm just going to buy a little something, tech store. So, you know, you're not going to put on your three-piece suit, or you're just going to run into the store. So I run in with sweats and a t-shirt, Timberland boots. I'm from New York. It just, that's how it is in New York. And then on my way out, I see a pastor of a big church, not going to name names. And then I realize that there's a problem when you live in a town full of pastors. That's not tied to the main sermon, but I'm trying to set the stage for you. Jericho was a place where all the priests hung out. I'm setting the stage. And so now, as Jesus is going through Jericho, all the priests are hanging out. There's a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is living in a town full of preachers. Zacchaeus, the name Zacchaeus means pure. Pure. And so Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector, and he is rich. What is the assumption about Zacchaeus right now? We've all heard the stories. Talk to me. What do we think about Zacchaeus? Rich? He's a who? He's a sleazy tax collector. He's dishonest. Those are all the assumptions that we make. Zacchaeus just is walking into town, and already we as Christians are looking at him and assuming that he's a sleazy, good-for-nothing tax collector, IRS. Oops, did I say that? Okay. Let me catch myself. Now, Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. Did a little bit of research. You don't get to be a chief tax collector without being good at your job. So Zacchaeus rose up the ranks, and the way it worked in Jericho, the government, the Roman government, collected tax. They would fine people and say, look, you need to collect X amount of dollars from this town. The tax collector's job was to get all that money and send it to the Romans. Now, there's two ways you can go about it. You can be an under-tax collector, so you're the one that goes and knocks on the door. You're the face, or you can be the boss of the tax collectors. Zacchaeus is the boss. He's got people working for him. So if you don't like the person that knocks on your door, if you see Zacchaeus, your hatred is even more, because he's the one that's got 10, 15 people under him, and he's doing his job so well that he's wealthy. No one likes Zacchaeus in the town full of preachers. Verse 3, Luke 19, verses 3, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. Zacchaeus had a problem. We've all heard the story. I won't belabor it. Zacchaeus is short. He's got a problem. He's in a town where no one likes him. So you could imagine as Jesus is walking through, no one's going to make the way and let Zacchaeus through. He's the wealthy tax collector. No one likes him. And so everyone is not giving him a chance. But Zacchaeus has heard about Jesus. And he says to himself, if I could only see. The text doesn't tell us why he wanted to see Jesus, but all we know is that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. We're talking about purpose today. Question that I have for you simply is, how bad do you want to see Jesus? You see, Zacchaeus was rich, and the next verse tells me that Zacchaeus ran and climbed a tree. If you are wealthy, there are two things you do not do in the ancient cultures. It's run and climb trees. Those are two things. If you are wealthy, that's not what you do. Kids can run, but you, high class, high society, you're not running. So Zacchaeus runs, climbs the trees, makes himself a fool for everybody because he wants to see Jesus. Now, I begin to think about me. How bad is it that I want to see Jesus? Am I willing to play the fool just so I could see Jesus? Purpose. Years ago, I was an air traffic controller. You've heard the story before. But at the time of my lowest point in my career, I opened the writings of Ellen White on a Palm Trio phone, a Palm 650 Trio. The screen is about this big. For those watching online, it is the size, it's like 1 inch by 2 inch. That's the size of the screen. And when I wanted to see Jesus, I was reading The Desire of Ages, The Great Controversy, on a screen this big. Now, some of us will say, I will never read a novel on a screen this big. But when you want to see Jesus, nothing gets in your way of seeking his face. We live in a society, we live in a world where things happen. And the question that I need to ask myself, if something happens to me in church, is my vision so focused on God that nothing that happens here will take my desire for seeing his face? So Zacchaeus runs and he climbs a tree. Did a little research. The tree is what kind of tree? Help me out here. It's a sycamore tree. Now, the word sycamore appears in the New Testament only here. So there's got to be significance to it. What is it about a sycamore tree? The sycamore tree is a tree that spreads really wide, has branches that are pretty low, it has fruits on it, and the wood is not the greatest quality of wood, but in Egypt, that's what they use to make coffins. And I said, now, what's the connection? Zacchaeus climbs a tree that has a purpose, but his purpose is different. He climbs that tree because he wants to see Jesus. So a tree that is an instrument that people use to point to death, this tree is the vantage point that's going to give Zacchaeus new life. So he climbed a tree, and it's interesting. It says here, he ran ahead, verse 4, climbed onto the sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Now, I had to pause because I remember in the seminary, they taught me that Jesus, nothing that he did in his ministry was by chance. So him walking through Jericho to pass underneath that tree had been planned since before Zacchaeus was born. And so Zacchaeus, in his small little world, he's like, if I can just climb up into that tree and look at Jesus, maybe just look at him. And meanwhile, in Jesus' heart, Jesus is just waiting. He's like, is he in the tree yet? Because once he gets up there, I can stand right underneath it. That's just my imagination playing out. But here is Jesus seeking the lost. Zacchaeus is trying to position himself to have a better view, and Jesus is positioning himself to give him that view. You see, those divine encounters that you have in your life, they're not just by circumstance. It's not by chance. Jesus purposely places himself in the path, hoping that you will see him. How many of us just blow past these opportunities and go on to the next day? See, last week as I was driving back from Delaware, it's around 8 o'clock at night, and I looked at the sunset. And the sunset in Delaware was amazing. And as I was driving, I looked around at all the people who were cutting in front of me and all the people who were, I was like, they're missing this sunset. Here is God painting a beautiful picture. How many people take time to even notice the beauty that he places in the sky? Much less how many people take time to notice when he's standing right underneath your tree. What happens next is so interesting. Verse 5, Jesus came to the place. He looked up. He saw him. And he said to him, Zacchaeus. The way Luke tells the story, he addresses Zacchaeus by name. Did anyone tell Jesus that it was Zacchaeus in the tree? Zacchaeus is a short man. No one likes him. I'm pretty sure the pastors and teachers and religious people living in town would not even want to utter his name. Yet Jesus calls him specifically by name. Those divine encounters that you have, Jesus is calling you specifically by name, insinuating that he already knows you. It's not an insinuation, it's a fact. He already knows you. And he says, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must, it's not optional, I must stay at your house today. Jesus wants to stay in your house today. You read it in any translation, the way the sentence, I'm not a Greek scholar, but the way it's written, it says it's important for Jesus to stay at the house today. Now understand, Jericho, I set the stage by saying it's a place full of priests. Jesus could have stayed at anyone's house. The establishment, the church. Yet, he says, Zacchaeus, you're looking for me, I've been looking for you, and I'm going to stay in your house today. In this passage, you see the gospel, the complete message. It's personal. Jesus wants to stay in your house today. Now, look how the people react. It says here, verse 6, so he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus receives Jesus joyfully. But when they, who are they? Who are they? The establishment. Well, I shouldn't use that word. They're the people in Jericho. Some of them are in church. Some of them are not in church. So let's not get too pious and judge him. But it says here, they saw it and they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. As if they weren't sinners themselves. But guess where Jesus stays? He stays at Zacchaeus' place. Verse 8, there's a powerful encounter, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. It's the fourth rich man's story. After the encounter with Jesus, social justice happens. Okay, maybe you missed it. I'll go over here. After the encounter with Jesus, social justice occurs. Okay. After the encounter with Jesus, social justice occurs. Okay. We're getting there. The three other rich men lived in a space where they could have had influence in their community to better someone else. The rich man before Zacchaeus, the rich young ruler, had the encounter with Jesus and spoke to Jesus and did nothing. Zacchaeus invites Jesus into his home, and as they're breaking bread and eating together, his conversion is complete. And immediately he stands up and he says, half of what I have, I'm giving to the poor to make the world a better place. You see, when Jesus comes into your life, you become compelled to make a difference in someone else's life. We're talking about purpose today. Tacoma Park, when Jesus is in the church, you are compelled to make a difference in this community. And then Zacchaeus says, and if, I looked at several translations, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore fourfold. You see, many of us, I'm guilty of it too. When I read the story of Zacchaeus, I say, what a cheating tax collector. But here Zacchaeus says, after he's giving half to the poor, he says, if I have wronged anyone. That means that Zacchaeus may not have been the cheater that we assume him to be. But he said, if I have wronged anyone, I'm giving fourfold. His conversion experience after the encounter with Jesus is complete. His purpose for existing is now found. And he's having impact in his community, not to benefit himself, but to make sure that those who are less fortunate, who don't have a voice, who don't have the ability, now have something. And then the verse completes. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come into your house because he also is a son of Abraham. I read some commentaries to say that when that phrase was said, it's saying that salvation had already come to Zacchaeus' house because he's a child of Abraham. The gift of salvation is already ours because we are adopted into the life. And then it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save. The story starts with one person seeking Jesus. It starts with Zacchaeus running, embarrassing himself, climbing a tree just to see Jesus. The story ends with the Son of Man saying that I have come to seek. Jesus left glory. He left heaven. He made himself a fool for us by taking on our nature. His purpose is to seek you. And he's doing whatever it takes. You see, Zacchaeus climbed a tree to see Jesus. Jesus hung on a tree that we may have eternal life. Jesus says his purpose is to seek. And I looked at the verse in the Greek, seek, to look for something. The way he's searching is he's searching without giving up. Intently. Looking for me. Why? Because I'm lost. And when Jesus finds me, my life is transformed. And if we allow Jesus to find us, then if he tarries 20, 30 years, if we know that time's not going to last that long, but there are other stories that will be written about people who walk through this community, and when they go to faraway places and other people come back, they will say, in Tacoma Park, there was a place where I saw God. Isn't that your desire? Don't you want to play the part in history where when someone walks through your life, when they leave and they go someplace else, I remember this godly community. I remember this godly person, and you remind me of them. As I prepared for this sermon, it became real because that's what God wants to do with me. And many times myself, I find myself like the people in Jericho, living in the city. Jesus is walking by. I'm not as concerned about him. But I want to be like Zacchaeus. I want to be placing myself where God is already waiting for me, so that when he has that encounter with me, I am changed. Is that your prayer? Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I have tried to get out the way, but I know your Holy Spirit is working in our hearts right now. And for such a time as this, you have us here right now. Lord, we are praying because we don't want you to pass by Jericho, Tacoma Park, without calling our name. Father, today, I know you're waiting. We want to respond to the call so that we can live the purpose that you have designed for us. Write our names in the book of life, Lord. Do not let this moment pass by. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.